1, and you may want to also kind of put a marker over in Luke chapter 1, because we'll be back and forth between those two this morning. You know, all of the world, in my opinion, is divided into two different kinds of people. This is one of the most basic divisions in all of the entire world. And I'm going to call it Christmas people, and you know who you are, and non-Christmas people. And you know who you are, because that's like me. You know, now, Christmas people, you're the ones who start putting your lights up a week or two before Thanksgiving. Okay, you know, you got your lights up and you're getting ready and you're so excited. And back in June, you're already buying presents and squirreling them away somewhere, right? You're getting ready. Those are all the Christmas people. You can't wait for the excitement of Christmas. You just love it. And all the rest of us, we're the ones who just put up with you. Okay? That's just the reality. You know what? And here's what I did not know. When I got married, I did not realize that I was marrying a Christmas person. Had I known that, it would have been a deal breaker. Okay? I did not know that I was marrying a Christmas person because, you know, we started dating. Our first date was actually about this time of the year. It was somewhere around the second week of December. And so we had one date. It was a blind date. And we did not have a second date until after the first of the year. So I was not exposed to my wife's Christmas craziness until the following year. Because what happened is the following year, we moved from Jacksonville, Florida to Dallas, Texas, again, about the middle of December, okay? And so we arrived in Dallas, Texas. Now, I was young. It's the only explanation that I can give you for the fact that we arrived in Dallas, Texas. We had a beat-up old car. We had a U-Haul trailer with the few belongings that we owned in the back of the U-Haul trailer. We knew one person in Dallas, Texas, and he didn't even realize that we were coming, I don't think. I may have called him the week before and said, "Hey, Pastor, we're on the way." And I didn't have a job. We didn't have a place to live. We didn't have anything but a beat-up old car, a U-Haul trailer, and I think it was $3,000 in our pocket. Okay, and that was to last us until we found an apartment, until we put the deposit down, until I got a job, and we needed to live on that until everything, we got a paycheck coming in. Seemed perfectly reasonable at the time. And so what I didn't realize is that when we arrived in Dallas, we were a week or two out from Christmas, and my wife's expectation was that we were going to have a Christmas tree. Because you see, as a Christmas person, you need a Christmas tree. As a guy who is a non-Christmas person, I mean, this could be my Christmas tree, I'd be fine. As a non-Christmas person, I didn't need a Christmas tree. Besides, I didn't have any money. And I needed to hold on to the few dollars that we had. And so we had our first discussion. My wife said, "We're going to get a Christmas tree." I said, "No, we're not. We don't have any money." She said, "We're going to get a Christmas tree." I said, "We don't have enough funds to go out and get a Christmas tree." She said, "We need a Christmas tree." I said, "We don't need a Christmas tree." She said, "We need a Christmas tree." I said, "No." And so we went out and got a Christmas tree. Here's what happened. I finally relented. I finally said, "Okay, we will go and we will spend $20 if we can find a Christmas tree." Now, granted, this was 40 years ago. If we can find a Christmas tree for $20, we will buy a Christmas tree. And I'm thinking one of these. We get in the car, we drive down the road, we go to Kmart, and out in front of the Kmart is a sign that says, "Free Christmas trees." Live trees. 6-7 feet tall. Just, I guess somebody had ordered too many. And so we bought ornaments with $20 to put on our free Christmas tree, and that was our first Christmas. You see, many people this Christmas can identify with that. Because for some of you, something is missing in your Christmas. You're not having the beautiful Christmas. Ian, give me that other slide. You're not having the beautiful Christmas with the lights and the kids and the presents and the joy and all those kinds of things. That's not your Christmas. Instead, you're having Christmas. Right? You got the Charlie Brown Christmas tree going on in your life because something is missing for you this Christmas. It could be finances. like it was with my wife and I that first Christmas so many years ago. It could be family. You could be away from family. Your family could be divided. Your family could not be speaking to one another. It could be relationships that are not the way that they are supposed to be. It could be that you don't have a sense of direction from God of where you're going and what you're doing. Whatever it might be, however it's being lived out in your life, something is missing. There's a hole. There's a gap. You've got a Christmas. You don't have Christmas. You've got something going on in your life that is not really helping you connect with God, and you don't know what you need to do. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that God works through our Christmas, and He provides, when we're willing to look at Him, when we're willing to listen to Him, when we're willing to connect with Him, He gives us every single thing we need. And He does it many times in completely unexpected ways. You know, that first Christmas was a mess. They were missing a lot of things. In fact, everyone in the story was either missing something or an answer to what was missing in someone else's life around them. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want you to look with me at that first Christmas. And let's look at the ways that God moves in unexpected ways to provide what the people in the story of that first Christmas needed. Let's start over here in Luke chapter 1 with that passage of Scripture that describes for us what happened that first Christmas. This is in the sixth month, Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." You see, one of the things that God did for the people that very first Christmas was He gave them a very clear and unexpected peace in their heart. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. When you have that sense of relationship with God, when you know that He is present in your life, when you know that He is with you, then you don't have to be afraid. That's exactly what happened with Mary. And if you go back and you look over at the Gospel of Matthew, when the angel shows up and he begins to talk to Joseph, he says exactly the same words to Joseph. He says to Joseph, "Listen, Joseph, you don't have to be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." It's the same word. It's exactly what he said to Mary. Both of them were totally caught off guard, totally confused, totally upset about what was going on. Mary was upset because she's expected to bear a child. She's never been with a man. She said that. She said, "How can this happen? It doesn't make sense to me." Her heart was disturbed. Her heart was upset within her. Joseph was understandably upset because he knew that he had not been with Mary. And now God is asking him to raise this child as his own. And he's upset and he's concerned. Yet God's message to both Mary and to Joseph was the same. Don't be afraid. He provided them the peace of mind that they needed to go forward in a totally unexpected way. He sent an angel to speak to them and he comforted them through his word. See, here's the reality. He can do exactly the same thing for you this Christmas. With whatever you're afraid of. With whatever has stolen your heart. With whatever goes through your mind while you're lying there in bed alone, 3 o'clock in the morning and it's dark, and the evil one comes and he begins to whisper into your ear and he begins to tell you all of the bad things that can come your way and all the awful things that might happen. What the Bible says to us is this: don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. He can give you an unexpected peace. As you begin to process all of the, and you've heard me say this before, what I call the what if monster questions. That monster that lives under your bed and he comes out at between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning when you're lying there awake and you begin to think of all the bad things that could happen and you go, what if and what if and what if? Here's what God would say to you this morning. What if you expect that He will work in ways that you could never see to bring peace to your heart and a solution to your problems? Because that's exactly what He did with Mary and Joseph. He gave them unexpected peace. And He can do that for you as well, if you will take the opportunity. Notice what it says. Don't be anxious, but instead pray. Instead, ask God to work in the middle of the situation that you are concerned and worried about. And you will find that the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. Secondly, He gave them some unexpected joy. This is one of the pieces of the story that I love. God provided people to celebrate when their family was not present. Mary and Joseph were away from their immediate family. They had traveled to be in Bethlehem, remember? Because it was Joseph's hometown. It was the place of his ancestors. But for some reason, his family didn't step up. His family did not open their doors to him for whatever reason. Were they embarrassed because Mary was pregnant and they weren't married? Was Joseph someone that they didn't care about? Was he a distant relative? Were all the houses full? We don't know what happened. But we know this. We know that he went to the place of his ancestors and his family did not open the doors to them. They didn't step up. There's no place to stay. If they didn't give them a place to stay, certainly they were not going to come and celebrate the birth of the baby. And you know, of course, that's one of the best parts of having a baby, right? When all of your family, when all of your friends come, and they look at your little baby and they just ooh and they ah and they tell you how beautiful that ugly thing is. Because, you know, all babies are ugly. I don't care what they say. All newborns are ugly. And all the family and all the friends, they lie to you when they tell you they're beautiful. They are. They tell you, oh, those are beautiful children. No, they're not. They're like little wrinkled prunes. They have little pointy heads. All of them. So Mary and Joseph, stop it. Stop it. All the grandmas are going, stop it. They believe me when I tell them they're pretty cute. No, they're not. All of the family didn't show up. But here's what I think happened. One of the reasons that the shepherds came was to celebrate. I think the shepherds showed up and they went, look at that beautiful baby. All the other ones in the background going, phew. Oh. No, God sent someone to celebrate with them, to be a part of that. You know what? He can do that for you too. That's one of the best parts of being a church family. You see, God saw the need of a young mother's heart. How sad would it be to have this child, to be obedient to God, and have no one there to celebrate with you, to be all alone with only Joseph and no one to ooh and ah and talk about how gorgeous the baby is. You see, that's part of what church does. Church becomes the extended family. And many times what happens to us at Christmas time, and many times what happens to us at Thanksgiving, and many times what happens at the times of the year when we should be celebrating with family and we don't have family, is we get discouraged and we get depressed and we get alone. But the reality is this. We can be the answer to someone else's need rather than just being discouraged about our own lack. We can do that in a thousand different ways. You can work at the Lighthouse Shelter. You can work at the food pantry. You can work in the food kitchen. You can be a part of the angel tree. Instead of being isolated and alone, you can be the answer to someone else's prayer. You can be the shepherd that shows up to celebrate with someone else in need. And here's what you will discover. When you get outside of yourself, when instead of sitting alone and feeling sorry for yourself because you don't have anyone there with you, instead of feeling like there's no one that cares, instead of feeling like you don't have what everyone else has, when you put yourself out there and you go and you meet someone else's need and you bring joy to them, here's what you will discover. When you give joy, guess what? You get joy back. I'm convinced that when the shepherds walked away, they were high-fiving one another. They were going, man, that was awesome. Listen, their willingness to go and celebrate with Mary and Joseph, made them the first people other than the family that saw the newborn Son of God. What a privilege they had to be a part of that. And Jesus told us that. Jesus taught us that. Those of us who know Him, He was teaching one day and He said, listen, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was cold and you gave me a cloak. And the people looked at Him and they said, when would that have happened? When would we have done that? And He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. There was an unexpected joy that came that first Christmas. And then there were unexpected resources. He provided resources from a totally unexpected place to meet for Joseph and Mary what was an unexpected need. You see, Herod wanted to kill the newborn child. You know the story. Joseph and his family needed to escape. An angel showed up and he said to them, you need to take the child, you need to pack your bags, and you need to get out of Dodge. You need to go, and you need to go now. Where would he ever get the funds to do something like that? Where would he ever find the resources to just pack his bags and go somewhere else? Totally unexpected. The wise men show up and they bring him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You see, here's what I think part of what is going on. God is providing the resources that the family needs to make the journey to protect the child. They bring him a gift of gold. Totally unexpected, out of the ordinary. Here's the best part. They probably traveled for weeks, if not months, to get there. And God had them arrive exactly at the time that the family needed to give them the resources that they needed to leave. God may already be at work to meet your need in a way that you don't expect, in a way that you don't see, in a way that you never anticipate, if you'll just trust Him. God will meet all of your needs, the Bible says, according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's one of the most amazing parts of what is going on. Who would have ever expected? I cannot express to you the feelings that I had when we rolled up to Kmart that Christmas 40 years ago, and there is a sign out front that says, free trees. How can you even imagine such a thing? I'm sitting there, and of course my wife, who has a lot more faith than I do, she's like, well, yeah. Now we can take that money and buy some ornaments. I'm thinking, man, we just tie some bows on it, can't we? Not for a Christmas person. No, no. I remember sitting in my living room when I was in Bible college before my wife and I ever met one another. I was renting a room in a rooming house while I was attending Bible college. And my best friend and I, we had run out of money before we ran out of month. You know what that means? I mean, you still got month left, but you don't have any money. Still got bills left, but you don't have anything in the bank. You still have a couple meals to have, and the cupboard is bare. We had no food in the house. And we got these two Bible college students sitting there looking at one another. We were like, what are we going to do? And my buddy Bill Ely, you've never met him. He's one of my best friends from Bible college. He looked at me and he said, I guess we have to pray. I guess so. We prayed. God, we don't know where we're going to go. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how we're going to take care of ourselves. We still got another week or two before we get paid. We're just going to ask you to provide for us. We got up from praying. We went about the rest of our day, and about 2 or 3 hours later, totally unexpected, my sister knocked on the door, and she walked in with two big bags of groceries. And she said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened, but I was just at home, and I heard God say that you needed some food, so I hope you need something because I got these two and a couple more bags out in the car. God is at work to meet our needs. If we trust Him, if we ask Him, if we expect that He is going to move on our behalf. He gave them unexpected hope. He provided hope when they didn't know how things were going to turn out and what was going to come next. They have an unexpectedly, totally unheard of pregnancy. Mary going, "How can this be? I don't understand it." They have a relationship that is on rocky ground. Joseph is going, "You know what? I'm out of here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave. I'm not interested in staying, Mary. I believe that you have been unfaithful." They have an unexpected long-distance journey that they have to make. Some emperor somewhere makes a rule that says everybody has to go home. They have to pack their bags and go. They have family that is nowhere to be found. They have strange people showing up all the time. You got the shepherds showing up. You got the angels showing up. You got the wise men showing up. Don't you love to get unexpected guests show up at your house? One after the other. And now, they're running for their lives. They're running for their lives. And yet, God is at work in the middle of it all to provide everything that they need. He gave them hope. When the angel speaks to them, he says, "Listen, there is purpose in your pain." He gave them the confidence that they could get through to the other side. He shows up and he lets them know that God has not abandoned them. And sometimes we need that assurance, don't we? Sometimes in the middle of the story, sometimes in the middle of the problem, sometimes in the middle of the pain, we ask ourselves, "God, where are you?" And we give up hope. Here's what the Bible says to us. It says, "Those who hope in the Lord will not be disappointed." When you trust in Him, He will meet your need. You may not see it now. You may not believe it now. You may not expect that He is going to actually, in fact, move on your behalf. But if you put your faith, if you put your trust, if you put your confidence in Him, those who put their confidence in the Lord will not be disappointed. He will move to meet your need. That's what Romans 5 says. His hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when He moved in the hearts of Mary and Joseph, He moved to give them hope. He said to them, "Listen, this holy child that is going to be born is the Son of God. This is not just random pain. This is not just life coming your way. This is not just awful events taking place. It is the perfect plan of God to accomplish His purpose. If you'll just trust Him, lean on Him, depend upon Him, put your hope in Him, you will not be disappointed." He gave unexpected direction. You ever be in that place where you don't know where to go, what to do next? Where you are so confused, you are so lost, you are so disoriented that you don't know what the next right thing to do is. That's where the wise men were at. There's a pattern here in the story of the wise men that I think is very well worth taking a look at. It's something that you should pay attention to. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. It's over in Matthew chapter 1, chapter 2. I want you to look at the story because there's something that I want you to follow the process, because this is a great process to follow when you don't know what to do next. There's a 1, 2, 3 step here that will help you. Three different ways that God provides direction. Sometimes He does it through circumstances. Sometimes He does it through wise counselors. And He always provides counsel through His Word. Take a look at what the Scripture says. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw His star in the east and we have come to worship Him.'" There was a series of circumstances. They saw a star. And that was enough to help them start on their journey. It narrowed the distance away from the other 359 points on the compass to one. We're going to go this way. And as they started in the way that God circumstantially showed them through the presence of the star, they then arrived in Jerusalem, and then they go to some wise counselors. They go to some religious leaders.
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. They knew. So sometimes God guides us through circumstances. Sometimes God guides us through wise counselors. Listen, counselors are only as good as that individual's relationship with God. If you're going to listen to someone, you better make sure that they're walking with Jesus. Because opinions are like belly buttons, Granny Hedgepeth would say. Everybody's got one. Right? You can ask a counselor, but unless that counselor is trusting in God, unless that counselor is a wise counselor, unless that counselor is a good counselor, they will guide you in the wrong direction. You ever got bad advice and taking it and ended up in a bad situation? What you can always trust is the Word of God. Notice what the counselors did. In this instance, the counselors got it right. Because here's what they said. For this is what the prophet has written. They went back to the Word of God. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be born, the shepherd of my people, Israel. You see how everything narrows down? It goes from that direction circumstantially to a group of counselors who then narrow it all the way down based on the truth of the Word of God. And God provided unexpected direction. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Without counsel, purpose are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, your purposes are established. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Circumstances are helpful. Counselors are good. But what you ultimately want to depend upon is the truth of the Word of God. And then finally, he provided unexpected forgiveness. This is the greatest part of the entire story. Because you see, everyone in the story needed forgiveness. Mary did. Joseph did. The wise men did. Everyone since then has needed forgiveness. And guess what? You and I, we need the forgiveness of God today. The whole point of the Christmas story is found over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Don't miss it. With the beautiful decorations and the trees, the lights and the songs, the nativity scene with the baby in a manger, as much as we love it, it's all about forgiveness. For he will save his people from their sins. So here's the question for you this morning. Has he saved you from your sin? Has there been a time in your life where you have acknowledged that there's sin in your life, that you are broken, you have a broken relationship with God? That without the forgiveness that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross, that you have no hope for eternity? It's wonderful to sing the songs. It's wonderful to give the gifts. It's wonderful to enjoy the season. But unless you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, unless your sin is forgiven, and you know that you're going to spend eternity with Him forever, it's all without meaning. It only makes sense when we understand why He came. The reality is not just that He came, but that He came so that we could have forgiveness of our sin. What do you need today, this Christmas? Are you celebrating the Christmas? Is there brokenness? Is there emptiness?
Is there hopelessness? Is there lack of direction, lack of purpose in your life? Are you having a Christmas? That's okay. God can move in entirely unexpected ways to meet your need. You need peace? Ask Him. I need peace. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm upset. I don't know what comes next. Maybe you need direction for your next step. Maybe you need hope. Maybe you have come to a place in your life where you feel like there just is no hope left. Listen, if you will put your hope in the Lord Jesus, you will not be disappointed. He may not always give you what you want, but I promise you, He will give you what you need. You know, He wasn't born in a beautiful hospital. He wasn't born in a beautiful home. He was born in a stable, and they laid Him in a manger. But it was enough. Because that child laid in a manger saved the world from their sin. And if you will come to this place where you put your trust and your faith and your hope in God, allow Him to lead you and guide you and direct you, He can take your Christmas and turn it into a beautiful Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today, for the opportunity that we have to open Your Word, to look at it. And I pray especially and specifically for those who are here this morning who are struggling. I pray for those who have a mess on their hands this Christmas. Those who feel empty and alone. I pray for those who are without purpose and direction. I pray for those who feel isolated, separated from family. God, I pray for those who have no hope and who have no joy. Father, I pray that they will open their heart to You and make room in their heart for You this day. Lord, I pray if there are some here that do not have a personal relationship with You, that there's never been a time in their life where they have been saved from their sin, where they are headed for a Christless eternity, that today will be a day that they will come and say, "Pastor, I need forgiveness for my sin. I understand that Jesus was born so that He might die for my sin. Today, I want to open my heart to Him." Lord, I pray that today, for whatever we need, hope, purpose, joy, direction, forgiveness, that we will make room in our heart for the Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. If God is